This is Levels of Geeks Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your host of Levels of Geeks Podcast, Alex and Friends.
Welcome, everyone, to this new episode. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
Welcome to episode 9. This is Terminator 2 Judgment Day from 1991. This is our movie review. If you guys didn't check out the first one, that's episode 7. All right, Nate, we made it to Terminator 2. What'd you think?
Yes, one of the biggest movies of all time, which we're going to cover in just a second. Just to pull back the curtain a little bit. Hey, guys, this is our third time starting this podcast, so you guys already know it's going to be good. We're committed to it. We're going to do it. It's a huge hit, a monster hit. One of, spoiler alert, I mean, this doesn't give away my score, but one of my favorite movies of all time. So I'm very much looking forward to discussing this one with you because you weren't the biggest fan of the first one. As a matter of fact, you fell asleep. So
yeah, I did.
Had to rewind it. So I'm interested to see what part two does for you because like you guys have said, and we've said in the past, we don't talk about this before we give our scores. So yeah. I don't even know if he likes it. He doesn't know. I mean, he knows I like this one, but in general, we have no idea what the other person thinks. So I'm looking very much forward to this one.
Yeah. And of course, before we get started, guys, if you're watching us on YouTube, please share, like, and subscribe. Support the channel. And if you guys are taking us on the go, please rate the channel. Leave us some feedback. We will take it with kind hearts. And if it's cool criticism, we will change the show to your liking to improve it even more so you guys can take us on the go. And then, of course, swap over and watch the video version of the podcast because we add all the statistics and photos of everything we are talking about in certain sections. And you're going, what sections are you talking about, Alex? Well, we're talking about the Levels of Geeks criteria that we break down these action movies with. Leading off, there's six of them. There's number one, leading character. Then we have main villain, action scenes, and then, of course, the storyline, and then the overall of the film, and then total points, which is out of the 25 points. Me and Nate, we do not know what we gave these movies. And then at the end, we total them. Then we laugh at each other. Then we agree with each other. Then we go, hey, I hate you. And then we go, yeah, man, I hate you too. And then at the end, we hug, and then we have a beer, and then we call it a day.
See you next Monday.
Yeah. But again, let's get started with these box office numbers, Nate.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Box office number for Terminator 2 Judgment Day from 1991. Domestic, it came in at $205 million. International, it came at $315 million for a worldwide total of $520 million with a budget of $102 million, Nate.
I mean, okay, listen. I changed my mind. We discussed something on our second version of this, but I need to know. That is, first of all, that is a massive, massive hit. Okay. You said $520 million. Mm-hmm. I mean, for 1991 money, you know, it had a big budget. Budget was what? 102, I think you had mentioned.
Yes.
$102 million budget, 500. So it made five times its budget. But that's a massive budget for 90. That's a big budget now, 100 million. But that's a massive budget in 91. This is going to boggle your mind. But anyway, the adjusted for inflation, and we'll put this number, he'll include it. I did it really quick because I had to know. And if we would have left it as it was before, I was very close. I said $930 million. It's $994 million. So
no way.
Nearly a billion on this movie. Okay. Yeah. It's a huge hit. And of course, the Rotten Tomato score for this one, 93%. So very well liked in all aspects of you know, all you can ask for is something that critics and fans like and that they pay money to see. And this is exactly what this was.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's a pretty big budget. And of course, this is one of the most beloved sequels. Then you talk to anybody. Anyone will say Terminator 2 is the best action movie ever or the best sequel ever made. So, with that said, we're going to find out if this really is the best sci-fi action. I'm not saying action because it's different type of movies here. Mm-hmm. Sci-fi action, or is it one of the best sequels ever made for a franchise? So, with that said, Nate always starts off with the lead character. So, Nate, take it away with the lead character.
That's right. I always start off, especially on the odd number episodes. I always start off. Okay, lead character. We had a little debate prior to, not a debate, a discussion.
Yes.
We said, hey, there's a lot of potential leads here. You know what I mean? And we decided to go with Sarah Connor as the lead. We felt this is her story. She was the main character in the first movie. She's, you know, this is a continuation of that storyline. Still kind of the lead character, in our opinion. So for me, she was a 3 in the first one. Linda Hamilton was good. The acting was good, but the character was kind of bland to me, right? She was, as we kind of determined, more of a damsel in distress than like a really strong, well-written character.
Right.
This, totally opposite. Very well-written. Super strong. Super tough. Totally badass. 5 out of 5 for me. Okay. A 5 out of 5 leading lady. This is, you know, you get a lot of movies now where they're talking about we need strong female characters, or there's not a lot of strong action female character. She was the pioneer. This is 91. There are not a ton of female led action movies at this time, you know, very, even more rare than now, to be honest. And I feel like she's kind of a prototype. You could really look to her and be like, look, she was tough. She was a mom. Okay. She had a child in the movie. It's not like she was a, you know, a single woman who had no, she has a kid. She's tough as nails. She's willing to kill and do whatever it takes to stop Judgment Day from happening. I absolutely love her in this movie. I'm a 5 out of 5.
What the hell?
Sarah Connor is calling to make sure that you don't screw this up. That's what's happening.
No, go ahead. Oh, man. So yeah, you gave her a 5. Five out of five. Oh, my God. So, yeah, look, in terms of lead character for me, look, I agree with you with everything she said. You said, I think Sarah Connor is one of the best written characters for a female in terms of the action genre. Mm-hmm. I think she was very well done, like you said, in this film. I love the whole her being nuts in the beginning because they thought she was crazy from Terminator 1 because, again, you know, you got Mike, what's his name? Reese came out of the blue. Yeah, and then you got this machine looking like a human trying to kill her, and no one believes her. So, with that, I mean, I kind of believe it. I was like, wow, this is pretty good. And you said it. Even the scene at the end when she has the shotgun and she's shooting the T-1000 and she's trying to push him into that lava and she's doing all the and she's going boom and then boom. I'm like, man, she is badass. Like,
nothing. Awesome.
That was really, it's a really awesome scene. So with that said, because I don't want to keep harping on this. With that said, my lead character score is a 5 out of 5 for Sarah Connor. Even if it was John Connor, I would have knocked it down by 1 for a 4. And if it was T-800, which was Arnold, I would have gave that a 5 out of 5 because he was excellent, again, as the Terminator. But with that said, it's about Sarah Connor. That's a 5 out of 5. All right, here we go. Main villain.
Absolutely. Main villain. Okay, so this is you.
Yes, main villain is a T-1000. Okay, this is the liquid metal magma, whatever the hell Terminator said. Yeah, you know,
molten hot magma.
Yeah, molten hot magma, and it's a T-1000. But yes, with that said, we're going with Robert Patrick here. He played the T-1000, a phenomenal, to me, is one of the best in this Terminator. I'm not talking about villains of all time because that's a separate podcast. That is a separate category of Levels of Geeks. We're talking about Terminator franchise as a whole. We did not hit the other ones yet, but as of right now, T-1000 is the best number one villain in the franchise. I mean, this guy, you could blow him up, he comes back together. You could stab him, guess what? He could pull it out of himself and he could go. I mean, this dude could run super fast. This dude, there's nothing you could do to this guy except freeze him. And I was like, holy crap, that's the only way you could beat this guy is by nitrogen. But guess what? If he comes in contact with a little bit of heat, it's over for you, man. So we kind of saw that. And I thought this was really good. This was one of the best characters to go against the T-800, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I thought it worked so well, good guy versus bad guy. Sarah Connor versus T-1000. John Connor had no shot against the T-1000.
He was like 12.
Yeah, he was 12. Maybe in the future he had a shot. But right now we didn't get to see that. But with that said, I am going to give my man the T-1000, Robert Patrick, Agent Doggett from the X-Files season 9 and 8. I am going to give him a 5 out of a 5 in this category.
Let me tell you, my friend. Let me tell you. I disagree with nothing. I disagree with nothing you said. I mean, okay. To this point, we're two movies in. Mm-hmm. Right? We gave Arnold a 5 out of 5 in The Terminator. Because he's incredible in that movie. He really is. He's great. He's a terrifying villain. Somehow, James Cameron figured out a way to make the bad Terminator in this one even better. Like, way scarier. Way scarier. Because, number one, okay, first of all, let me just talk about Robert Patrick real quick. I love the contrast of gigantic, huge Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? Because the roles are flipped. In the first movie, Kyle Reese looks like, you know, a normal guy, and the Terminator is jacked. He's enormous. In this movie, the T-800 is a good guy. He's enormous. Arnold is still jacked. And Robert Patrick looks small next to him.
Yeah.
And yet, he's terrifying. He's half his size and twice as scary as him. You know, the fact that there's the moment where the T-800's like, I can't beat him. He's way more advanced than I am. Like, I could do my best, but I literally straight up, I just can't beat him because he's more advanced. That is like, I can't think of another movie where like one of the heroes or like a main guy just straight up says, nah, this villain's just, he's just better than me. I don't know what you want from me. I love that part. I love the aspect. And then the effects still hold up. They really do. Like, obviously there are better effects now, but it holds up. Unlike the first one where there's moments where it's like, that looks kind of, you know, not amazing. There's none in this movie. You know, you could tell when there's like a stuntman or whatever, but the fact is they use stuntmen. They blew stuff up and the CGI is used for the liquid metal and it still looks good, even for today, you know? So 5 out of 5. I agree. The way he runs, I used to run like that when I was a kid because I thought that was like, I thought it would make me faster. So I used to run with the hands like this, you know?
Yeah.
You know, because I saw that obviously this came out when I was like 4. So when I was like in middle school, I was like, I was doing that T-1000 run. I mean, the T-1000 is, spoiler alert, you're right. He's the best villain in the Terminator franchise. I'm calling it now. So whatever.
No, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, there's nothing that come close. Again, I don't remember Rise of the Machine, and I don't remember Salvation either.
Okay.
So I got to see those villains. But as of right now, from what I remember,
he's the best.
T-1000 is the best one, hands down. He had the best, you know, I don't know, to me. And Dark Fate, we're going to talk about it because I felt like they were just trying to redo the T-1000, just made it better. Like, that's what they're trying to do. But
it's similar.
We'll cross that.
But the fact is that he's the original, and there's a couple in the ones following where they tried to do something similar. But you got to go with the OG was the best one. Like, he was new. He was creative. He was inventive. He was awesome. You know, when he goes, he looks like a cop. So when he shows up at these people's house, he's like, hey, is John here? Huh? He seems friendly. Seems nice, right? Like, he's not like Arnold. Arnold looked terrifying in the first movie. He's like, I wouldn't talk to that guy. He's like, are you Sarah Connor? No, I don't know who that is. This guy comes up to the kid in the arcade. He's like, hey, have you seen John Connor? Yeah, I'd probably tell him where he was because he seems like an okay guy. That's why he's scary. I love him. And he has like sword hands. I mean, come on. He can turn his hands into swords.
That's right. He could turn into anything he touches.
Yeah. He could turn his hands into swords and knives, and he could duplicate any person. He can duplicate their. I mean, he's the best. So, 5 out of 5.
Now we're going to get into action sequences. Now this is where it's going to get a little bit of shifty here. Could be or may not. So
could be.
Let's start it off.
Action now. So the first one, I think I gave the first one a 4. Four too, like at that. But if that's a 4, then I think you know where I'm going.
this is a 2.
This is a 5. Oh, listen, from the moment. So first of all, one thing, the future scenes, like the little bit where they're at the future and like early on, like they're doing the flash forward type of thing with the war with the looks way better than in the first one. Obviously, this one has a way bigger budget. Now it looks not like little toys, you know, rolling around on miniatures and stuff. Like, it looks awesome. The big semi-truck motorcycle chase scene is awesome. Mm-hmm. It's great. And the best part of it is it starts off in a mall. You know, like, they're in a mall. And they're in that part of the mall where a lot of normal people don't walk behind the stores. You know, those little, like, secret hallways?
Yeah, well, you use the bathroom. Because they got bathrooms there for some reason. And I'm like, man, people go there when you know... You know when you got to take a dump when people run to that bathroom.
Because to the secret bathroom.
To the secret bathroom. Like, yeah. That's it.
I used to work at the mall, and we used to have to go into the store through those back hallways. So, like, I know those back hallways. And it starts there. This guy, Arnold, comes in with the flower box that's actually a shotgun. I mean, you know, the slow motion. Everything about it is so good. And he tells the kid, you think, because you don't know right away who's who. You know what I mean? Because Arnold was the bad guy in the first one. And from, if you're just going into this blind, you're assuming, well, he was bad in the first one. He's the bad guy in this one. Yeah. You don't know who's who until that moment where he's like, tells him to get down so he could shoot. Oh my gosh. Such a great scene. And from then on, it's just, they're running through the thing. He's chasing him in the parking lot. Then he gets on a motorcycle. Then there's a motorcycle chase. And then he's in a semi truck. I mean, it's fantastic. I absolutely love it. And then my favorite action scene has to be at Cyberdyne when they're at the building.
Yes.
When they go back and it's like nighttime, the nighttime scene.
When he got the Gatling gun.
Yes. Yeah. He just has a mini gun and he shoots an ungodly amount of bullets. And I know no one dies.
Well, he's not trying to hit them. He's not trying to hit them. Yeah, he wasn't trying to hit them.
No one dies because he's trying to get rid of them without hurting them because of what John O'Connor told him earlier. Like, you can't kill anybody. I command you. You can't kill anybody. And then there's like a helicopter. I mean, it just has like everything. It has explosions. Yeah. It has guns. It has helicopters, cars, car chases, motorcycle, another factory ending at the end. That scene's great. That fight is brutal. Like, you know, it's robots, but Arnold gets just absolutely wrecked in that scene.
Yeah,
his head gets squashed. I mean, his arm gets ripped off. I absolutely love it. I think it just does everything better than the first one. So 5 out of 5 again.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's get into action sequences because that's my favorite part of the criteria. I mean, Nate is into the other stuff, but not this guy.
Yeah.
With that said, look, I'm not even going to wait to the end and give you my score. I'm going to give it to you right now, and I'm going to say why. I'm going to give this a whopping 5 out of 5 because, honestly, this had way more action than the first movie. Like, I'll tell you that. Second, that whole scene, you even alluded to it even while you were saying it. When you really did not know, even rewatching this, you still did not know that Arnold was a good guy. When he walks behind him, he's like, get down. And then he's like, boom. And then the guy starts, face goes up, and you're like, what the hell's going? Because even rewatching it, I was like, what the hell? Because even when he shot the T-1000, you see the liquid metal pop in front of him. And I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Then when they get into even the helicopter scene, when he's like, get out. And then the guy jumps out of the helicopter because he didn't even kill the guy. He's just like, get out. Like,
no,
he just told him, he just like, get out. And remember, that's the same thing Arnold Schwarzenegger said to the other guy in part one when he got on the semi truck. He was like, get out. And then fat guy was like, oh, man. And then he just jumped out
while
he rolls off. But this guy just jumped off a helicopter. So I thought that was cool, especially when he went through the windshield and then he went right into the seat. That was awesome. That was so awesome. My favorite scene, though, I know Nate said the whole Gatling gun. That is pretty cool. I thought that was really, really, really cool. My favorite scene is actually inside the factory at the end of the movie when they just fighting all over because you got all the lava or whatever it is.
It's like, the melted steel.
It's like flying everywhere. And I'm over in my house like, man, it's kind of hot in here because I'm feeling the heat myself. And I'm like, man, these people must have, if they really, because knowing James Cameron, he must have shot this in location. With actual, I'm not saying real lava, I mean real steel all over the place, but they must have made it in a way that it feels super hot because I felt the heat from Sarah Connor, John Connor, even Terminator. And I'm like, man, it is hot up in here because I was like, holy crap. But with that said,
I wouldn't be surprised if they filmed it like in a steel factory in Pittsburgh or something. They make it. Yeah, it's like a steel town.
The only reason why I'm thinking that is because the way you see the way he shot the scenes of them running through everything does not look like it was shot in a studio. It actually looks like he was actually having cameras positioned in a way that these guys can maneuver to follow the actors going up the ladder, down the ladder. John Connor was mass small, so he went through that rotating thing. Remember when he got him and his mom got separated? So again, I thought it worked very well. I love that scene. The ending scene for me is the best. So with that said, that's a 5 out of 5, man. That I had to. There was no way I could give it a bad scoring. I mean, it had way more action, like I said, than the first movie.
The underrated little fun scene too, in the when they're escaping the asylum and she sees him for the first time and she's terrified because she thinks, oh my gosh, last time I saw him, he was trying to kill me. And then John comes out and then
he's like,
no, he's yeah. Mom! And then that whole little escape scene is awesome because that's where they go to the elevator and the T-1000 comes running towards the elevator and like sticks his hands in the door and like pries it open with the thing. And then he's like stabbing through the roof. Like that whole little, it's small, but it's also pretty awesome.
Yeah. That's when he's taking the shotgun. Boom.
Yes.
Boom. Yeah. And then they run into the car and then right out the parking lot.
It's one long chase scene essentially, but it's awesome. Yeah.
No, it actually is. All right, storyline. All right, so with the story, I think it was a way better story than the first movie. I'm just going to say it right now. The first movie put me to snappity-doo-da-day. I was sleeping all day. With this one, I actually enjoyed it more, and I think it's because I'm watching the movie through the eyes of John Connor. So I felt like I'm in that journey of with John Connor, not Sarah Connor's, because we already did that with the first movie. So for me personally, I felt like this movie was through the eyes of John Connor. He saw the robot. He became a friend with the robot. And then you got to see his progression throughout the movie. Like he learned how to reload guns. Because we didn't get to see that in the first movie because he wasn't even born. So you got to see him put the shotgun shell. So you could see where his training for the future came from, the T-800. Yep. So I thought that was pretty cool. But I like the fact that everything revolved around, again, the technology of the first movie, the chip, the arm, the T-800 is telling the black guy, I forgot his name, I don't want to sound racist, but what's his name?
The scientist guy.
Scientist guy that's in a scientist in every freaking movie because he was a cyborg's father in Justice League. So that character, that guy, he's telling him, you guys have, in the future, Skynet takes over and hell breaks loose and bleh, everyone dies. That's the short version. That's the Alec version of what T-1800 said. And then he shows him proof. He rips the arm off. He's like, hello. He shows him the metal hand. So I thought that was all pretty cool. And again, like I said, I think the storyline for me, it worked way better than all the other movies. I already know that for a fact. I thought it was way better than the first movie. So I think James Cameron, the moon aligned with the sun this day. And everything when he wrote this script, if he wrote this script, it was someone else. But with that said, I give the storyline, wait for this, people, I give this a 5 out of 5.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Yes, this is a really good storyline. I still enjoyed it, even rewatching it. I thought it was very good. I was intrigued. I was into it, maybe because it was Guns N' Roses, my favorite bands. So yep. I was into it. But yeah, I think this was a perfect of a storyline across the board. So.
Okay. Well, if you guys remember, I gave Terminator 1 a 5 out of 5 on storyline as well. Just for the premise. I love the premise of it. I think it was great. It was original at the time, So what they do here is they essentially take the same basic storyline. Cyborg sent back to kill someone. Other person, or cyborg in this case, sent back to protect. Okay? So the storyline, this was a classic, if it ain't broke, don't fix it scenario.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But what they did was then they just added to it. So this is my analogy I talked about the other day about the music. It's the same thing. This is like a delicious meal where they're just adding more delicious things on top of it. It's like, well, this was good before, but now it's even better. So the dynamic with Linda Hamilton and John Connor, they have been separated. So there's just more interesting dynamics within the characters, because she don't trust Arnold off the bat, has to learn to do that. There's that whole mistrust. Then there's the stuff with her son. She hasn't been there. She's been in a locked away, and he's been through foster homes, and you relate to him. And it does everything that the first one does plus. So if I gave the first one a 5, I obviously have to give this one a 5 as well. And it's interesting that you said that, you found it way more interesting. And the funny thing is, like, the first movie is 1 hour and 40 minutes, and this one's like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it's longer.
It's 1 hour longer, but it's way more engaging, even with the longer running time. So, yeah. And the action scenes are then longer and bigger. So everything is just bigger and better. So, I'm not going to say the first one's a 5 and this one is, if it's better, it's a 5. We can't go higher. So 5.
No, I mean, I agree that there's nothing wrong with this. And I'm very nitpicking. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm going to give it because of what. its story was really good. Like, even rewatching it, I was like, there's nothing wrong with this. I mean, I'm not saying it's the best script ever wrote. We're not saying that. We're just saying for a sequel movie, it actually made sense than the first movie. Like, it's a believable story. Like, you go, oh, okay, they sent a new robot this time to protect the guy that he was trying to kill.
What you guys got to keep in mind too, like with the 5 out of 5, like Alex just said, with the script, you know, there could be flaws with a movie such as dialogue, which we're going to get to when we get to like overall scores here. But, you know, dialogue may not be incredibly strong. We're just scoring the plot. Like, what's the premise of this movie? The premise is two people going back in time to kill a kid who's going to become the leader of a resistance that's going to eventually kill the robots in the future, or they think is going to kill the robots in the future, right? That's like the premise. It's a great sci-fi premise. It works well for action. And then from there, they just added in some family dynamics and things like that. So yeah, I agree. It does not necessarily mean it's like a perfect script, but that doesn't mean it's not an elite, one of the best storylines, especially in the sci-fi and action genres. It's one of the best. So yeah, 5 out of 5. All right. So
overall,
well, this might be maybe one of the most obvious scores. But you know what? I do have a couple of negatives. One, John Connor. I like the character of John Connor. And I was a kid when I watched this movie. So this is another one of those R-rated movies that like I saw as a kid. And it wasn't like scarring. Like, it's violent. There are some parts that scared me when I was younger. Like the part where the T-1000 goes to his foster parents and he kills, like, that scared me when I was little. But other than that, it's R-rated, but it's not too, you know, gratuitous in any way. Yeah. So I liked John Connor when I was a kid. As an adult, Edward Furlong is a little like, his voice is kind of whiny. It's kind of grating a little bit. It's like, oh man, this kid, he's always squealing. Like, oh, come on. Ah! It's something about his voice just bugs me. Now he can't help it because that's his voice. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's just like a personal thing. Like, oh, he's just a little annoying. Some of the dialogue's not great. And Cameron's strength has never been dialogue. Let's be honest. His scripts are good storylines, really cool premises. And then he does great technical stuff, but his dialogue is always kind of hammy. And there's no difference. Most of the dialogue's pretty good, but some of it is a little bit cheesy. And those are my only two gripes. Edward Furlong as an actor is not amazing. And some of the dialogue, it will not interfere with my 5 out of 5 for overall. It's to me, and you're going to go in a second, to me, as you said at the top, I do think this is one of, if not the best action movies, if you want to categorize it there. If you want to say sci-fi action, like that subgenre, it is the best. And I don't think there is one better, personally. And just sequel wise, one of the best. That one I think there's more, you know, debates you can have, but absolutely one of the best sequels and one of the rare sequels that is definitely better than the first one.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There are some sequels that are amazing and the first is just super amazing. So it may not be as, you know, better, but it's still one of the best sequels. I think of something like The Godfather, where The Godfather 1 is amazing and The Godfather 2 is like also amazing, but I wouldn't say it's better. This one, 2 is better than 1. Absolutely. So yeah, 5 out of 5 overall for me.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, look, overall for me, I agree with Nate, everything he said. I'm not even going to elaborate or anything because I'm not going to rehash everything. But in terms of John Connor, I think for me, he is the weakest link. But then again, we have to think also, this is his first movie. James Cameron
found
him out the blue and threw him into this blockbuster movie. So with that said, I give him his points on that. Like, I was like, you know what? But he did see something because he did feel like Sarah Connor's son. Like, I cannot see another kid playing this guy. He reminded me of Anakin, man, whiny from the freaking first Star Wars movie. So like that's exactly who he reminded me of. But with that said, I let that slide. Negative, I can't find much negative in the film. I think everything was so fine. I mean, yes, the stunt double, but guess what? You can see that in True Lies with Terminator. Anything that has Arnold Schwarzenegger, you're going to see a stunt double somewhere in the background. It is what it is. So with that, I never deduct points due to the stunts. Because honestly, in the 90s, we did not give two craps about the stunts. We just loved to see how it looked. And we go, wow, Arnold did this. Again, fast forward to 2020, we go, damn, he didn't do that scene.
So, all right.
Because when we're kids, you don't see that. You just see Arnold throwing, you know, especially True Lies when he's riding the horse. You're going, wow, that's him. And then next thing you know, it's not him. So,
yeah. With that that's okay, said, because they didn't have the technology that they have now where they'll just CGI his face onto the, you know, stunt double. It's okay.
Yeah, so it's that's okay. Overall, I think it had great action across from the beginning of the movie when Sarah Connor is giving her, you know, her narration and then whatever. Then it goes all the way through the ending right at the factory. Mm-hmm. I thought it was nonstop 2 hours 30 of adrenaline, suspense at times. There was suspense at times. There was a lot of thrills and chills because you're like, holy crap. So I quote Goosebumps in a lot of spots. With that said, overall film, I'm going to say this. This is going to be the first time ever. This is a whopping 5 out of 5.
Dang. So this is the second time, I think, too, where we had the same score.
So I go first in total points. So with that said, this is the first time everyone is going to hear this. I'm going to give this movie a perfect 25 out of a 25 in this sequel of Terminator 2 Judgment Day from 1991. I think it's well deserved. Kudos to James Cameron, the cast, the crew, the actual the scorer, the guy who did the music, because everything just flowed well. Like I said, the lines and moons were aligned that day. Again, kudos to everyone. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Linda Hamilton, Eddie Furlong. You guys did an amazing job. This is, to me, is one of the best sequels in the action category. Even if it's action, pure action, or sci-fi, pure action, to me, is one of the best. I mean, there's other sequels that I could think of that's better than one. For me, it's Superman 2 with Christopher Reeves is way better than Superman 1 in my eyes with General Zog. I don't know if you ever seen those, but I thought
like Aliens better.
Yeah, I thought Aliens is way better than Aliens 1. But again, that's just me. I know a lot of people like you. You like Aliens 1. So I know, but at least
Aliens 2 is debatable. Like, you can have a discussion about it.
You could.
I might like 1 better, but 2 is also amazing. So it's it could go either way.
Yeah. So then you have Dark Knight versus Batman Begins.
Absolutely.
That's another one. So again, you got those sequels that are just so good. And maybe that's some episode me and Nate could throw on our live episode. Talk about sequels that are so good that... could it be better than the first? That's a pretty good topic we should knock on our live show. So with that said, what is your
And just so you know, I think you came up. I think in this episode alone, this is a tremendous episode because not only did we have the same exact scores for the second time, but I think you came up with 2 good live show topics. I think the sequels one is good, and I think best movie villains, you know, you touched on for all time cinema, you know, like favorite villains and things, because T-1000. This guy, he's the best. And we didn't even touch on, I forgot to mention, the fact that this was one of the movies that you'll see it on some lists of like the movies, not me obviously, but the movies that make like can make a man cry. You know, that ending scene where you're so invested, even though he's a robot, with his relationship with John Connor. He's almost like a father figure because John didn't really have one. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, you're right. We didn't even bring that up. Yeah, that was very, actually, I did tear up. I mean, not now because I knew what happened, but when I first saw the movie, I had tissues. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, it's so well done that when this robot, it goes down and does the thumbs up and everything, like, you like are emotionally invested in it. So it's an amazing ending. Even the ending of it is great. So my score, obviously, was a 5, a 5, a 5, a 5, a 5. And that makes 25 out of 25. I was thinking about it. You know, I know of a lot of movies that I really love. This is essentially a 10 out of 10. You know, if I'm just like when I'm scoring on my kind of thing. So I don't know of a ton that would get this score, but I had a strong feeling this would get it when I was kind of going through all the categories and thinking about it. So, I mean, not necessarily, keep in mind, again, not necessarily flawless, because every movie something, there's like a small flaw, but just amazing. Like anything that is in it that is a flaw, you can overlook it because it's so dang good. So 25 out of 25.
No, you're absolutely right. Again, guys, thank you so much for checking out this podcast or watching us live. What's up, Nate?
We gotta give him the keyword.
That's right, the keyword.
So we're gonna go ahead and enter the keyword. I'll let Alex let you know for the pause. Now, if you're watching this on YouTube, sorry about it, you're just gonna get a beep. But if you want to get the keyword, listen to the podcast.
Yeah, so if you want to hear it, here we go. The key word for the Rambo sweepstakes is 3, 2, 1.
Hasta la vista, baby.
There you go. That is the keyword for the Rambo Sweet Six. All you got to do is DM me or Nate at Levels of Geeks on Instagram or Nate Flicks Reviews on his Instagram page. Again, guys, follow us on our social media pages. Nate is Nate Flicks Reviews on his Instagram page, or follow his podcast, which is
Nate Flicks Movie Reviews. Just add the word movie and you'll get the same exact Nate.
There you go. And then for Levels of Geeks, all things Levels of Geeks, all you have to do is Instagram Levels of Geeks, Twitter Levels of Geeks, and of course there you have it. That's where you could reach me at for fun. And again, YouTube, please share, like, and subscribe to the channel. Support the channel. We have a blast Monday, Wednesdays, even our podcasts, Tuesdays, and then throughout the week we always throw out some videos, random videos there.
Right.
But again, guys, thank you so much for checking out episode 9. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.